Mind-changing radio.
Brightest moments of my career was when a couple said, oh my God, I feel like we're on the same side of the table for the first time in years. Everyone needs to communicate, where is our money and what does it look like?
The top three reasons couples file for divorce: infidelity, lack of communication, and money. Money makes people funny, as the saying goes, but there's nothing funny about being thrown into financial turmoil during these challenging times. How do you talk to your partner when money goes bad? Learn some ways to get through your money challenges with my next guest, Christine Moriarty, founder of Money Peace, next on Self Talk Radio Show. Brought to you by Pure Energy Apothecary, now offering hand sanitizers and lotions in scented and unscented. Get yours at pureenergybody.com.
Welcome back to the show, Christine.
Thanks for having me. It's always great to be here.
Yeah. Now, especially with COVID-19 going on, staying home, watching kids, everything turned upside down. What's the first thing that couples can do if they're faced with job loss or just suddenly their steady Eddie income has changed?
First, they need to communicate, Sarah. That is like a number one, which sounds kind of ridiculous, but it's actually true. Like, what is going on with them, each of them? Is it fear? Is it financial issues? And if they talk through the emotions as well as the money, they're going to have a better conversation in the long run. So communicate, communicate, communicate.
Is it really all about the money too?
No. That's the thing that misleads a lot of people, is they think, oh, people get divorced because of the money. People don't get married because of the money. And it's really underlying value system. And when I delve into a lot of the research, we learn that in a traditional couple, the male see money as power, whereas women use it for stability. And so right there, there's several factors, but just looking at those two, you can see why men and women vary in their approach to money. One wants to save, one wants to spend. And this is non-traditional couples too. Everyone who has walked through my office, and I'm talking, I've probably seen thousands of couples, they're opposites. When it comes to money, as well as so many other things, but money and those underlying values are what will keep it together, having a sense of the same value so they can communicate and work it out.
Now, what happens if you have a couple that's sort of raised differently? Like if you have someone who came from a very poverty-stricken background and you have somebody who's middle class, they might look at money differently. Do you see that when whoever comes into your office for help?
Absolutely. They do look at money differently. So, and there's nothing wrong with that. That is the first and foremost thing that you have to understand. Everyone looks at money differently. So if your partner does look at it differently than you, that's okay. Maybe we can learn something from each other. So a lot of the workshops and classes I do now really get to the core of how do you communicate around money in a tangible way with some facts, rather than you spend too much. Oh, well, you always want to save. Well, your father did this or this, you know, you learned this. It's much better to have a plan laid out with some facts that you know and you're looking at together. One of the brightest moments of my career in sitting with clients was when a couple said, oh my God, I feel like we're on the same side of the table for the first time in years.
Yeah, that's powerful.
It's extremely powerful.
And do you have a situation where one is holding the purse strings and the other one's kind of getting an allowance and there's resentments there?
That happens about 80% of the time.
Really?
Again, I am not seeing clients currently, but that's why I have time to do podcasts and other things. I want to bring this information out to the world because it happens. There's probably three models, and one of them is that one person's holding the purse strings. The other is that you're keeping it separate. The third one is no one's paying attention to the purse strings. But typically one person is, and that's where we're talking about COVID-19 and how we can help couples. no matter what the situation, if you've lost a job, if you have haven't lost a job, if you're at home, if one of you, like one woman who just wrote to me, is working extra hours and someone else is at home with the kids, these people, everyone needs to communicate, where is our money and what does it look like? So forget those facts that can be taken care of now, because we're seeing things, how fragile life is.
We're speaking with Christine Moriarty of Money Peace. And when we come back, we're going to delve on those three couple types and what you can do if you recognize yourself in some of those images when we come back on Self Talk Radio Show.
Can't sleep? Have brain fog? Try this. Sleep meditations, soothing meditations to help you stop bad habits, start positive change, and sleep like a baby. Sleepmeditation.org.
Welcome back to Self Talk Radio Show. My guest is Christine Moriarty of Money Peace. And you were talking earlier about the three types, the one that holds the purse strings and, you know, the people that don't pay attention to money. What are some transitions that you've seen for each of those that they could implement right away?
I think sitting down and understanding who's spending money where. And one of the things that helps it without any judgment is I have people start a joint account. So if you've always had separate money, start a joint account, not for everything, but for the basics, your mortgage, your rent, the things that you agree that we share, and start contributing to that. And that starts to get the communication flowing through factuals, not, oh, you spent too much on the gym or you spent too much on clothes. It's like, this is just our joint expenses. How do we want to allocate those? And that works even with that couple you refer to as one has the purse strings, because typically when one has the purse strings, and I'm putting that in quotes because it comes out all different ways, it's be equally as much because one person wants the power and control, but also the other person is more apt to put their head in the sand and not want to deal with money.
Mm. And how do you get around that if you're just overwhelmed and you don't want to open the mailbox?
Yes. So that is a great, you may need a little financial therapy.
Yes.
it's one of the area of my expertise. If you're single, you definitely need to seek some help out there. And there's plenty of financial therapists or groups or classes that you can email me and I'll send you some information.
Now, hang on a sec. What's the difference between a financial planner and a financial therapist? Because that's intriguing to me.
Well, a financial therapist is truly not a designation yet. It's in the works. It's so new. But it's the people who, like I have in my practice for the past 25 years, have taken into account emotions as well as the money.
Mm.
And some therapists are trained to do it, but more often it's financial planners who take that approach. And that is really helpful. It's not a investment advisor, because investment advisors often get accused. I didn't mean that. That was a Freudian slip, though, of being financial planners, when really there are people who just want to take your money and invest it. They don't want to sit down and talk about all the planning issues and the emotional issues that are there. So know who you're talking to, because whether they're a financial therapist, a financial planner, an investment advisor, there's all different trainings and backgrounds. And I know I'm a certified financial planner, which means that I had to go through and get experience, pass some exams. If someone's a financial planner, anyone can be a financial planner. There's no qualifications for that. Much like a CPA is a certified public accountant,
mm-hmm.
An accountant might not have the same training.
Hmm. Interesting. What are you seeing couples fight about the most during COVID-19 right now?
I think one of its, I would stay away from this fight. It's more of, they're both so stressed that everything is a fight. So whether it's spending, whether it's about the kids, whether it's about who's making dinner, who has more time. And again, from a financial level, I tell them, get on projects that you can do together. Like, make sure that your beneficiaries on your retirement plan and your life insurance plans are who you want them to be. Meaning each other, hopefully, your kids, whatever. Because sometimes people forget to update those. And that's an easy fix now online that people can do from home if they're home. They can do it from home even if they're working a lot. That's a way of taking care of each other. And I think when couples can see that they are taking care of each other, even when there's these stressors every day, there's a little more understanding.
Now, Christine, if a couple is struggling, they might not even be able to see the forest for the trees and say, well, I'd love to have a financial planner, but I can barely get groceries on the table. What do you say to that family?
I'd say that you will actually have more money once you are able to sit and work with someone on this. But COVID-19 is probably not the time to do it. But you can return to my website, which is moneypeace.com, learn some basics, and just set a half an hour a week aside to talk about money with your spouse. One half hour, get up early, have an extra cup of coffee, and make that happen. It's the communication. There's so much going on that we cannot ask everyone to try something new. I know I saw something on the web that some actress was suggesting that everyone learns a new language or try a new yoga class. And it's like, we don't have the headspace for that, even if a lot of people have time. So kudos to those who have, but couples, give yourselves a break. And remember that it's very hard to take advice from your partner. Mm. It's much better if you communicate and come up with a compromise and solutions together. That's why I recommended the joint account as a way to get started. And then something as basic and non-emotional as confirming your beneficiaries are where they need to be.
Now, I want to circle back, too, about understanding patterns and behavior around money. You know, if some people, they're rare, but there's some people who have gotten an influx of money from unemployment that they weren't expecting that might have been actually more money than they would have gotten at their regular job. What do you advise them to do with the extra cash that's come in?
Well, my advice to them is to save a small percentage of it. It could be 10 or 20%. Because people in America, and we've known this ever since the government shutdown of a year and a half ago, most people didn't have $400 available to cover emergencies. So start a savings account that is just for long-term, and that, again, 10%. And this just gets confirmed that people were already under financial stress because they've done studies and research that most of the people who have gotten unemployment and gotten that little bonus in unemployment used it to pay back bills. Mm. So that is saying that so many people are trying to play catch up. We need to make sure we save some.
You know, you had an example on your blog of a woman who said, well, gee, I always seem to be behind the eight ball. I've got a great job. I'm doing well there, but I'm always behind or have credit card debt. And how did you go about fixing her problem?
Well, some of it was to actually write down what she was spending and have her do that. And the other part is stop using the credit card. Because a credit card sometimes gets us in trouble and we spend more than we actually make.
Yeah. And we have this, you know, bottomless illusion of a bottomless bank account with a credit card. Oh, I'll just put it on the credit card.
I am just as guilty as everyone else. People wonder why I can do this or how I have such good ideas. It's experience. And I know since COVID-19, I have been using my credit card for groceries, which has always been a no-no in my the way I operate, because I know exactly what happens. I buy whatever I want.
Right. Yeah. And if you don't go in with a budget and say, okay, I have, this is what's worked for me. I'll go in and say, okay, I have $100 to spend, and I go to Costco. And I go for all I know those English muffins are $2.89. They're going to go in my basket. You know, that's really helpful, though, to be able to budget like that, right?
Well, first of all, you said a word that makes me cringe.
Budget?
Budget.
Budget, budget, so, budget.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my heart. But a better way to say it is semantics, but it also is about parameters, not about limitation. A budget's about limitation and says I only have this much. But going and saying my spending plan is I have $100 to spend in Costco. How would I like to plan to spend that? Hmm. Or I make $700 a week. How do I plan to spend that? Because we all have choices, and where if we feel like we're limited, then it adds stress right there. But when you feel the freedom of having some actual choices, it's a much better approach. So I work from a spending plan where you are involved in making the decisions, not feeling like it comes from the outside somewhere.
We're speaking with Christine Moriarty of Money Peace. And when we come back, we're going to find out about some financial systems you both can live with. Coming back on Self Talk Radio Show.
Ready to create your own podcast? Not sure where to begin? Start with WebHelp US. They built Self Talk Radio Show's site and the site for I Love Old Time Radio Show, now boasting over 100,000 downloads. Why not have them build yours? WebHelpUS.com.
Welcome back to Self Talk Radio Show. I'm Sarah Spencer. My guest is Christine Moriarty of Money Peace. Now, are there some financial systems that a couple could live with, and how do you work that out?
Right. One of them we've been talking about is having those shared accounts for shared goals, so that you each have your own account for things that you want, and you can contribute to the shared accounts as appropriate or as you decide. What is shared expenses? Is it food? Is it housing? Is it your cars? Or what's separate? So every couple should have a little different tweak on that. And one of the biggest things I can tell people is to establish some consistency and togetherness around your finances is to have money dates, is to take some time every month to talk about money and our decisions around money. So ease into making things joint. So many couples come together in the old model, they adapt and just throw everything in together. Other couples, I often say, a product of the 70s, where everything was individual, his and hers. And I think that the right answer is somewhere in the middle, where we do not give up all our independence, but we acknowledge what a dependency or an interdependent relationship that's healthy really is. And it sometimes takes conversations to make that happen. And I recommend money dates as a way to have that discussion about what works. And I'm back to have a cup of coffee, stay home, go for a walk, not go out to a lovely dinner to discuss money.
Right.
Backfires.
Yeah, that's true. Now, what about, are there any electronic tools that somebody could use to help track expenses?
Well, there's some great ones out there. You could say Quicken, you could say your budget. There's all sorts of apps. And the most important thing is to do it. Some people are not comfortable. I had a 22-year-old tell me that she doesn't trust or want to link all her bank accounts to any of these apps. So she found one called Spending that doesn't link, but it makes her pay attention. I am a big fan of the old pen and paper. Write down what you spend for a month and see what see the numbers in black and white, it will change things. I'll give you an example of a couple I worked with, Sarah, and he had everything on Quicken. She had her own business and she did in her own account as well, personal account. She didn't put anything on Quicken. He insisted that his way was the only way. Her way was working fine for her. So despite his opinion, I suggest they just talk about what they're spending and share the information with each other, not change their systems. You know, come up with a system that the couple can live with for their joint money. Other than that, it's okay to have different systems. Mm. So apps are great, but the computer doesn't solve everything.
You know, you're talking about money dates, and I know in my house, we don't call it, it would certainly not be a date. It's okay, let's sit down and pay the bills. That's right. What we do. And so how do you change that into, oh, let's have a glass of wine and pay State Farm, you know?
No, because that is paying bills. That's different than a money date.
Oh, okay.
A money date is proactive with different topics. Hey, do you want to have a joint account? Hey, let's update the beneficiaries. Will you do yours and I'll do mine and we'll rendezvous back next week? Oh, and here's one that I don't want to let this podcast go by without saying, hey, have we updated our wills? Do we have a will?
Mm.
These are really important things to cover. Paying bills together, I don't want to, if it's working for you both, great. I usually suggest that one person pays the bills, the other balances the checkbook or reviews it. Or they take turns switching off. For most bills, there's no reason for two people to have to sit and pay a bill.
Very true. Very true. Christine, do you have some workshops that you offer for couples, right?
I do. It's called Enlightened Finance for Couples, and it walks them step by step through these needs and lays out spreadsheets. If they want spreadsheets, that's a combination of video, podcasts, articles of how to do your finances better together. So that could be a start of a money date system for you is, hey, let's have a money date every Thursday evening and watch one of Christine's Enlightened Finance workshop videos.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. Christine Moriarty has been my guest from Money Peace, and the website to find you
is Money Peace, and that's P-E-A-C-E. We need a lot more peace in this world.
Amen to that. All right. And we'll have links on our website too. Christine Moriarty, my guest, thank you so much for being on the show.
It's my pleasure, and I hope it helped a lot of people out there listening.
I know it did. Thank you so much. I'm Sarah Spencer for Self Talk Radio Show. If you're a fan of Self Talk Radio Show, head out to our Facebook page, take a picture of yourself listening to the show, and you could win yourself a $25 gift card courtesy of Pure Energy Apothecary or one of our guests or sponsors. Thank you so much for listening to Self Talk Radio Show, Mind Changing Radio, where you can find it on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and of course at selftalkradioshow.com.